Now, people who organise illegal gatherings, as we mentioned briefly before, could be fined up to £10,000 under new police powers that will come into effect in England tomorrow. The move follows an increase in raves and parties over the summer as coronavirus lockdown restrictions started to be eased. And of course, we've got a bank holiday weekend coming up, so you can see why this is starting to be put in place now. The Home Secretary, Priti Patel, says the police will crack down on those who do it.
They will not hold back because these raves, these parties are damaging. They are helping to spread COVID. And at the same time, as we are discovering now from the police briefing that I've been to, we're seeing all forms of criminality also be facilitated through these illegal parties.
Well, in other news, we've had no masks for secondary schools, then a U-turn, and then the masks were back in again. There's concern that the take-up rate among those people in vulnerable groups eligible for a free flu jab has declined in recent years too, and that could lead to, well, I don't know, maybe a little bit of laziness, complacency of those who really, really should get it. But to wade through these topics and more is Professor Bertie Squire, once again, the Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health. Though some do see him as International Rescue, the School of Tropical Medicine. He's also Honorary Consultant in Infectious Diseases at the Royal Liverpool Hospital. Bertie, we've just recruited you into Thunderbirds there. I'm sure you'd be very pleased with that.
Thank you very much, Snelly. I like the idea of being International Rescue. Wish I had that power.
Well, you've helped many, many people over the past few months. We've been having a chat. But masks, masks, masks. I mean, the World Health Authority, we're talking about organisation, we're talking about tests, tests, tests. But this week it's been masks. You've always been a big advocate for face coverings from day one. What do you think about young people in schools, in the corridors and going between lessons? A good thing?
Yes, I'm glad that there's been some more government guidance on this, if I'm honest. I'd like to start by saying what I think everybody knows, which is that clearly getting kids back to school and education is really important. So opening schools is such a crucial thing, not just for learning, but also for general well-being. And I can see why initially there wasn't a lot of focus on masks, because of course learning requires that ability to communicate, and it's not so easy when you're wearing masks. But I think this has to be balanced with the wish to make sure that we keep kids and staff and families as safe as possible when they go back to school. And I think what has been important in the decision recently is increasing evidence that younger age children, broadly those under the age of 11, get mild disease if they're infected with SARS-CoV-2 and are less likely to transmit than older children. And the WHO chain has issued guidance on this, which the UK government's guidance is now largely congruent. And basically what the government is saying is that older children who can get more severe disease, like those who are older than 12, should wear face coverings in circumstances in general in schools where they're not able to keep the full distancing in place.
Yeah, it's right that the children start to go back to school, as you mentioned before, and the younger children who would pick up this and get mild symptoms of COVID, as you mentioned there. But it's right to mention the staff as well, because they would be in the same proximity as the children, and of course it's a worry for them because they go home to their families too. And when we say staff, it's not just teachers, it's caretakers, it's, you know, the people who prepare the kids' dinners and cleaners. It's the whole deal, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. I think what I should say is that when I'm talking about milder disease in the young children, milder disease is associated with less possibility of transmission. So the milder disease tends to be associated with less actual virus particles being transmitted. So there is some evidence that the kids are a lesser source. But you're raising a really important point, and of course that schools aren't just kids, and that's why the guidance is that children aged 12 and over and any adults, teachers and the like, should be wearing masks when they're in pinch points in corridors and, you know, in places where they're not able to distance.
Local lockdown areas, utilising fast local lockdown areas and just doing it really quickly seem to have proven very successful in containing outbreaks. We've seen that in our own city recently as well. There's talk that this is the way to deal with an outbreak in a school as well, that straight away nip in the bud and deal with it then. Do you think that would work?
I think it in principle, I absolutely agree. I think having local information and being able to act swiftly on local information in general is a good thing. And in specific relationship to the mask guidance, the way it's being implemented is that it is guidance in general. So where there isn't a particular lockdown, then schools are at discretion as to how they use masks in accordance to that guidance. But if there is a local outbreak, then schools in those areas where there's a local uptick in numbers, then it becomes much more stringent that they use masks. So in that sense, I think it's good. I think we need to be, we just need to make sure that we aren't overplaying this local lockdown thing. I think that a lot of it is about raising awareness. It's not just about restrictions. It's about raising awareness when in those areas where this happens, and also making sure that people feel confident in the guidance that's being given.
Sure. And the hunt for vaccines continues as well. A coronavirus vaccine candidate developed by the University of Cambridge could begin clinical trials in the UK very soon. Good news, but again, only if its effectiveness and safe application is proven in test. There's a lot of eyes and there's a lot of people working on this, but, you know, vaccines, you just cannot rush these things.
Yeah. No, I think you make a good point. Again, I think when we think about vaccine development, there's sort of the two bits to it. There's the actual different finding of new vaccines, sort of developing them in different ways. And then there's the proving that they work. So if we think about the Cambridge vaccine, it is a new approach that's been used to develop that. And it's a slightly different approach from the Oxford vaccine that I have mentioned previously and that we've been recruiting to here in Liverpool. And it's good that we've got a new kind of vaccine potentially on the block, because as I've mentioned before, it's likely that we're going to need different kinds of vaccines for different circumstances. And the more we have coming through the pipeline, the greater the chances of success. But we do also need to put energy into and celebrate the testing of vaccines. So the whole business of bringing together research teams like the one that we have regionally here, the Northwest Vaccine Alliance, and research teams globally to test these vaccines in circumstances outside the UK. Remember, this is, you know, COVID anywhere is going to be COVID everywhere. So we need this to work. We need to demonstrate effectiveness both in the UK and overseas. And that takes effort and takes research teams. It also takes people to volunteer and participate.
We've had a lot of volunteers. We were talking I'll call it the blood depot down in Speak earlier on, where 500 plus people have been in to donate plasma, but we need thousands, you know, possibly tens of thousands to do this for the antibody side of things as well. And people are good and people step up. But you're right, it's about awareness, isn't it? That's key.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is one of the great things, I think, that we've been seeing with this pandemic is people are willing to step up and people are willing to see this as something that we all have something to contribute. And as an aside, if I can be a bit personal, I got recruited into the Oxford vaccine study last week and I've been fine since. And it,
Did you say you've been fined, Bertie? Or
fine? No, I've been.
Oh, I was going to say, what have you
doing?
You've been fined. I thought, what have you? You've been kicking off down there.
No, No illegal gatherings organised by me, but I've been well, is what I've been saying.
Good, okay. We've got Priti Patel on the line for you. Wants a quick word here, the Home Secretary. Betty, just before you come a comfort, let's just talk briefly about flu jabs as well. There is a worry that vulnerable people will neglect to get it done because of everything that's gone on. But this is really important that they do get this.
Absolutely. It is more important. It's always been important. I think that because flu is something that we all refer to and are familiar with, we can be complacent about it. It's a horrible infection. It kills people every winter. And now more than ever, it's going to be important that vulnerable people do access the vaccine and get it, because we need to be in the strongest possible situation as we go into winter. If we need extra capacity in the hospitals, that we have it. And one really good way of making sure that that happens is that people get the flu vaccine. It reduces the numbers of people who will be presenting with that same mix of symptoms that we recognize for COVID, fever, cough, and malaise. Absolutely.
And finally, we look forward to it all, but this is just a little icing on the cake. Your crumb of comfort, Bertie, for this week.
Okay, so this week, my crumb of comfort comes with a warning and a plea. The crumb of comfort is that the numbers of new infections in England seems to be steady and remains low, and that's particularly full of comfort, because that's despite all of the easing of lockdowns that we've seen. And the estimate of the R0 number is that it is just below or hovering around one, so that we aren't in the position of being too concerned about a rise. But my warning is that it is hovering around one, and therefore my plea is, let's do everything we can to keep it there, because we're probably at the limit of easing of restrictions that will keep it in that place. And it does rely on people continuing to do the things that we've talked about. So hand washing, social distancing, and please masks. My own recent visits to supermarkets and the like have seen, I think, a reduction in the number of people who are wearing their masks. And I think that's going to be dangerous for us. And then along with those things, the flu vaccine.
Bertie, as ever, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. There's Professor Bertie Squire, Dean of Clinical Sciences and International Public Health, and lots of other titles as well, but we're running out of time.
We have to cut it short.
We have to cut your title short there, Bertie. Sorry. Right, bit of travel.